Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. With more than 35 years combined industry experience, Alex Huesner and Annie Holcomb have teamed up to connect the dots between inspiration and opportunity, seeking to find the one story, idea, strategy, or decision that led to their guests' big aha moment. Join them as they highlight the real stories behind the people and brands that have built vacation rentals into the $100 billion industry it is today. And now, it's time to get real and have some fun with your hosts, Alex and Annie.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Annie.
And we are joined today with Nicholas Wegener, who is the CEO and founder of Send Squared. Nicholas, it's so good to see you.
Likewise. So good to see you guys as well. Happy to be on the program.
Well, we're so glad to have you. We know it took a little while, but a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, Rebecca Lombardo, she had brought your story to us and we both read it and we were just so amazed and so impressed and just, wow, the whole story is pretty incredible. So wanted to have you on and talk about that. Before we get going, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your backstory and how you ended up in vacation rental industry.
Yeah, it is a pretty wild story. So yeah, I founded the company Send Squared about 5.5 years ago. And before that, I was running a different company, the LeMond Companies, with a 3-time Tour de France winner, Greg LeMond. I spent almost a decade running that company. And upon leaving in about 2018, I was living in Knoxville, Tennessee. And then, you know, I left that and moved my whole family back up here to Minneapolis, met a bunch of folks that were working over at another company here in town, Trek. And we started the company about the fall of 2018 and really got to work on a product that has become to replace Navis and others in the market. It's a full direct communications tool that specializes in in-house call centers, email marketing, text messaging, text message marketing. And we just built an owner system too that allows you to send, you know, your direct to postcards out to all the homeowners with sales rooms, performas, and it's just quite a whole direct platform. And it's been a lot of work, you know, as an engineer myself, the build all of that, to scale it up to north of 20,000 units under management, getting close to 25. So it's just been, you know, certainly a passion project and kind of an all-in kind of a thing over a subset of years of cumulative work. And for a long period, building it for nobody, because for years, as you get started, people just aren't on it. So
yeah.
Building it, have this larger vision that you're trying to execute on, where you're trying to bring, you know, owners and guests into like one CRM and build all of that. But yeah, that's the product. That's the company. That's a little bit of me. And thanks for asking.
Great. Well, coming from my perspective and how important I know direct bookings are, and having worked in a company that we were 95% booked direct and didn't use Navis, but used Revenate, and certainly looked at Navis over the years. And actually we built our own CRM based on a lot of how Navis was built. But I think there's a lot of companies that are now coming into the vacation rental space that if they haven't been around, you know, for a certain amount of time, they're mostly reliant on Vrbo and Airbnb, and they don't necessarily understand the importance of having a good look at your guest data and being able to know if a guest books with one email address that it's the same guest if next year they book with a different email address or a phone number, and how important that is to really be able to get, you know, that true landscape and bird's eye view of your guests, who's coming back, who is repeat, and how that helps build your marketing. But I'm sure a lot of what you do right now, because there is such an influx of those companies that are newer, a lot of it's got to be education, right? To make them understand, like, this is why you need that, so that you can get away from, you know, having to rely on the OTAs as much.
It really is. And there is a lot of that. And we even set up programs too to help educate folks on a monthly call basis. But it has to be, you know, there was a lot of growth that took place, you know, during the COVID years, and a lot of folks that came in, and that during that time, they just didn't have to worry as much about those direct relationships. But with, you know, EDRs getting scrunched and, you know, the market just being more of a tougher year, that's a big piece of it. You know, having those direct relationships, having that Rolodex that you can count on, people to market to drive that direct business where you can hold on to the entire margin. It's a big piece of it. And if you're an operator in today's market, you need to be looking at that, or at least considering one of the solutions out there. And that's why it's so critical as we're out at all the shows. We even spend a lot of time just educating folks who come by. So it is. It's a big piece of it, just to learn how it works.
So I wanted to go back. You started this after, or you were working on this, and you had an injury after you left Greg LeMond's company, which was kind of ironic. It was a cycling company, and you got injured in a cycling accident. but you weren't with them anymore. So like you said, could have been in the news, but it wasn't. But you're stuck in the hospital and you're working on this project and your partner was very supportive and wanted to get this done and was kind of helping you do the work that you couldn't do. So can tell us a little bit about that story and how this all happened and what brought you to like vacation rentals specifically. But at that time, I think, again, it's a very crucial part of your journey as to how you got here.
It absolutely is. I mean, who you're speaking about is Roy Collins. He's my co-founder. I mean, just a wonderful human. And a lot of that was foreshadowing that I didn't understand or see at the time. Our relationship was brand new. Yeah, I probably only known him maybe less than a year. So, you know, you start a business with somebody and it's almost like a marriage. I mean, how you coordinate, how you communicate. I mean, you're sharing finances, you know, to a degree within the business. So, I mean, to have him do all the things that he did, I mean, it's remarkable. And correct, there was an accident. I'm a cyclist, as you would hope. I was running a cycling company. And, you know, of course, I spent a huge, you know, cohort of my life biking all over the world. And so to come back to my hometown, you know, Minneapolis and St. Paul, and to, you know, get involved in that accident, it was a hit and run. And, you know, I kind of just had your whole world shooken up. And at the time, yeah, there's no revenue, you know, with the company. We were building the product, and to build the kind of product that we have, you don't really just jump out with like an MVP and try to, I mean, there are portions where you're going to try to, you know, interact and work with different folks. But for the most part, you know, nobody was using the system. So, you know, he and I had these grand visions on where we wanted to take the platform. But then you had to say, hey, I'm going to go out for a ride one day. And you know, this is one of the last most like gorgeous days of the year. And in this part of the country, it gets cold. And so for 4 or 5 months, you can, or at least you shouldn't ride, even though a lot of folks do. And yeah, and I went out and I was on Summit here in St. Paul. For those who know where the area is, it's, you know, it's right in kind of the heart of the city, very bike friendly area. You know, I was in a bike lane biking and I got hit head on and I went into the windshield. I broke both my arms. You know, it was a very angelic moment, but I got put into an ambulance and taken down to the hospital and, you know, trying to figure out where I was. But Roy was one of the first people to come on and see me. And even after the accident and the recovery into the surgery, into a cost, which by the way, I mean, is a whole other process behind it, is just, that's kind of a daunting scenario as an entrepreneur. I mean, you don't have a job, right? You're trying to build a company. So you're pouring your own money into it. And at the same time, I have a family and kids, and, you know, it's just, it's one of these things where it's like, everything that you're used to doing kind of falls apart. Yeah. And so, yeah, everybody has to jump in, from your family to, you know, the business when you're trying to put that together. And my role early in the days was to, you know, write code. It's hard to do that when you have two broken arms.
Without hands.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Like literally put your hands on the keyboard, you know, so it's like, oh, can you help me along?
Wow.
So there was a lot of that. It was foreshadowing. You know, Roy's been a tremendous partner. I mean, the business wouldn't exist without my partners, Roy and Nicole. So I'm very grateful for both of them. And yeah, it was just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously saw something in you very early on that he wanted to make sure no matter what, he was going to get you through this, because, you know, he could have gone out and tried to find somebody else, but he obviously knew you were the man for the job. So hopefully we'll get to meet him at some point in this journey as well. But he sounds like
a
great leader.
Yeah, yeah. He is. No, and it's really been, you know, the both of us as we've been trying to build up and get this company going. So, and that's why, and even in part of that story and trying to convey it across, you know, it's one of those things, because it's a humbling experience, you know, and you go through this whole process. And I think, as I told you even off camera, it's like the hero's journey, right? It's like you have all these amazing accolades, and it's very circular, right? So it's like, you know, you go through like all these highs. Like when I was at Le Monde, I mean, we could open any door. It was just an amazing experience. I remember POTUS calling, you know, answering the phones to that. And then, because, you know, the president of France was coming into town and they wanted Greg there. And so it's just, you know, the amount of stuff that we were able to do there, and I left and all of that goes away, right? So, then, you know, your whole world kind of resets. And to have the partners that I found to build the business with, and to land in this very unique and amazing industry, you know, I mean, it seems like it was all kind of fated and all kind of destined to happen. So there's just parts of that where it's like friction and you just don't want to let go of it. And just like, hey, you know, just go with it and don't fight these other components and just kind of let it all flow.
Well, you landed in the industry this time a little bit softer than some of the other lands, at least.
Yes, true.
Good for the industry. I do remember one part of the article that you sent us that we'll include in the show notes that goes into detail about this whole story. At one point, I thought to myself, at least I have my health. And then you didn't, you know, and then, I mean, you had to literally start from ground zero to build that back up, and really in a short amount of time. I mean, 2018 was not that long ago.
No, and it is. It's still a big piece of me today. I mean, I'm very athletic, try to stay in shape. You know, I have, you know, pretty serious workout regimes. Anybody who gets to know me knows that's a big piece of my life. But then I did. I lost a ton of weight. You know, I mean, I remember I was trying to put it into like my dress shirts, and I just remember I wouldn't fit into them. And you kind of lose that other portion of your identity. So it's like, yeah, at the time, if I'm sure anybody who's ever had to go through, you know, big transition job wise, you know, your identity kind of gets tied to that, right? So mm-hmm. I was for so long known as like Nick from Le Monde, and then I had to let go of that, and I already felt completely lost. Then I became, you know, just all broken in terms of just physically, and then I lose all this weight, and then like that part of my identity is gone. I remember just looking out the window going, I just wish I could just go out there and run around, you know, with like my own kids. Yeah, because they're running through the yard and they're playing around. I'm just like, because you can't do that. You're stuck, you know, like can't do anything. Both arms are broken, right? So it was my collarbone up over here. Then there's my wrist and my arm over here. So both arms were just completely tied up. So
healed and you can type now. You can code now.
Can.
You're doing well. It's so positive to see. But I guess my question is, why vacation rentals? Like, what was it about our industry that drew you in? We're a great group of people to be with. Don't get me wrong, but. Just
you know, it kind of fell on my lap, you know, as much as I deviated around. And so it's funny because the first client we had on the platform, and the platform wasn't actually originally called SendSquared. It was originally called AdBase.ai. So we had to deviate away from that early on. Because at the time in 2018, .ai's like the TLD was just not very popular. Nobody cared too much about AI. That was really our goal. But then it's like I said, it's very circular. So everything kind of like, all comes back. But our first client was a bowling alley, believe it or not. And locally here. Yeah. It was our first paying customer. You know, they paid not a lot of money, very nominal in contrast to what we do today. But they signed up for just our email marketing because that's where we started. We built, you know, like a MailChimp equivalent. And when I was traveling all over the world, when I was hanging around Greg, and I was all over the place. I was like Australia, Europe, China, all over the place. I noticed that I would always get these just flooded with emails and like at the oddest times all throughout the night and all in the morning. And I'm like, God help them. Can't they figure out like when to send me an email? Cause I'm like, I would just delete them all. Cause there's no reason for me to read through them. They wouldn't send them to me when I was actually like looking at it. So I wanted to create like a send time analysis. And that was where we started. So we created send time analysis to learn the best time to reach out to people. And we started that in like 2018, 2019. And then as much as I just was trying to sell the platform to anybody, you know, hairdressers, anybody who is really looking to use the platform, breweries, and all types of different folks. You know, I think, you know, with the people that we had early on in the company, we're in the hospitality industry. So then we started with hotels and small boutique resorts. And then we eventually found a lot of stickiness with vacation rentals, particularly within, you know, the product within the in-house call center, and then how that works together with our automation engine, automated lead follow-up, and then with all the rest of the email marketing kind of all brought into the same suite. And it just, you know, again, it's one of those things we're just going to start coming at us. And instead of fighting it and trying to stay, you know, agnostic against any industry, we really just owned it. We said, hey, this is it. And that's really where our focus point is now. We're directly for vacation rentals. And in fact, we're one of the only CRMs that has owner and guest. I mean, I know I'm quite biased as I should be, but we're at the kind of fall in our lap. Again, it's just one of these things where it was very circular and like everything that was started at the very beginning with us, you know, over at Track to kind of come all the way back around. And then we're just focused right back there at Vacation Rentals. It is a great group. I love everybody in it.
And it came in as an interesting and probably opportune time for you as well when Navis decided to move outside of vacation rentals. And, you know, back prior to 2018, there were a lot of vacation rental companies that used Navis, and they used to be a very big player at these events. And the call center component used to be a pretty big thing that a lot of companies focused on. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I feel like that's kind of, it's gone to the wayside a little bit, but the companies that have continued to do really well in pushing those direct bookings, building their brands, they still focus on call center components and having a reservation team. And with large properties, you want somebody to talk to. And that's the one thing that Vrbo and Airbnb can never give these guests is they're not going to talk to guests about it. So came in with a product that filled a need where it was leaving the industry and probably refine some of the things that Navis had that I know at one point when we were looking at it, part of the cost association that was prohibitive was the revenue that they charged, and they were doing the outbound calls or they were coaching us on the outbound calls, but they would still take a percentage of any of those bookings. And I mean, it was going to be a pretty big chunk of change for, you know, an annual basis there. But as far as what you've built on that call center side, tell us a little bit more about it, how it works, like what are the things that you've taken and learned from?
Correct. Yeah. And we don't do that. So we don't actually, I think you're speaking about RevSource. candidly, but if that's what's the case. But yeah, we don't take a percentage of the bookings. You know, we're solely a software platform. So, you know, we're not actually taking the calls for you.
Yeah.
We're not doing the outbounding work. We just provide the set of tools that your mm-hmm. own team or staff can use. Now, we work with a lot of other particular, maybe like VAs or third-party companies that might bring some of those services in. But again, our focal point is really on the platform. And so exactly that, we are a telecom. Right. So, I mean, we're even an FCC registered telecom. So that allows us to buy numbers or port numbers to us, and so that we don't have to do so through a broker. And that's one of the ways that we were able to even extend the service offering as well, is just focusing in on the heart of the technology and then extending that furthermore so that you can, you know, have your call trees and call plans and all those other kind of components working with that, not just stopping at phones, is taking that further and working through the emails and then the text mm-hmm. messaging, and then kind of harmonizing all that together, launching our Wi-Fi technology so that you can do a better job capturing those emails for all the other guests that are inside the units, and then kind of bundling that entire communications platform together is one package. And so those who are familiar with Navis kind of recognize it is that on steroids. The timing, you know, kind of was right. We didn't launch that platform until maybe 2021. We spent many years building it because it's not something that just shows up overnight. And so, you know, it took us a while to kind of really retool it. And, you know, we're a contact first system. So it's a little bit different. Navis was lead first. So they were just focused on leads. So, you know, we try to remove contact duplicates. We try to add, you know, multiple email addresses for each contact, multiple leads for each contact. So it really is the next generation of the technology. And it is designed to do, you know, exactly what they were doing back then, but in today's market, which
more
is
modern way. Yeah.
Yeah. The direct relationships, the direct bookings. And you're absolutely right. When, you know, ADRs and purchases are just so high, folks want to call, you know, if they're going to spend, you know, $10,000 on a vacation, they don't just want to punch it in over the net. They want to talk to somebody. And that's your opportunity to really establish your brand and make sure that they know who they're booking through, which was, you know, part of our ethos and why we're here doing what we're doing.
Yeah. So, and it records the calls, I'm sure, too. So you can go back and do agent scoring, coaching, stuff like that.
Of course. Yep. And all the KPIs and all those rest of those components behind it. You know, we partner with Doug Kennedy, too. So he's been a real champion of our product, you know, and it took a while, of course, to meet all these people and for us engineers who we are, and probably not always at all the shows, but kind of learning, hey, we need to be at all the shows. And so that's why we're at all the shows now, too. So just making sure we're meeting everybody.
Well, you mentioned that you had around 25,000 units on the platform right now. And so obviously you had to start out with just a few or one. How did you scale up to that? Because that's a lot of inventory over a short amount of time.
It is. And a lot of it's been within the past even year. So it's really through the different partnerships. You know, it's funny, I reached out to Streamline early on, I think in like 2020, but, you know, I didn't actually get connected to them until 2023. So it took a long time, and perhaps they wanted to put us through more validation, but it's truly been through all those partnerships and, you know, just kind of word of mouth. And, you know, we don't spend a lot of money on marketing, if at all. You know, our only expense on that is truly the trade shows at this point. But, you know, we took on some of the big folks that were on Navis, and, you know, a lot of that helped us is that, you know, Navis got bought out by Revenate, and, you know, that M&A action, you know, worked to our favor because, unfortunately, and unfortunately for us, they left the vacation rental industry for the most part.
Yeah.
And as they've done that, it kind of left a hole for those that are using that product.
Yeah.
And then we come in and we say, well, we charge differently, but in a lot of ways, it saves folks a lot of money. But on top of that, we just have a lot more of the tools that they look for in 2024. And so it's kind of just makes it really easy to bring folks over. Scaling the business was, I mean, I can tell you as a founder, like that's what I did at Le Mans. You know, that was my role there. I was fundraising and I raised a lot of money while I was there, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And, you know, it was a big company. You know, we had tons of employees. We had two different plants. You know, we had one out in Australia. We had one back in the States here in Tennessee, you know, but to kind of hit the reset button and you lose that name and the moniker, that brand name, right?
Yeah.
And you want to build something from scratch. Like nobody's ever heard of it, right? And like in the start with a different name as we were adbase.ai. It's just so much iteration. And it is. It's incredibly difficult. So for any founder who's out there and they're trying to build something from nothing, it is a journey, absolute journey. And you got to like prepare for it. And it's not 1 or 2 years. It's, you know, 5 to 10. And yeah. it's hard to know that and have the vision and the optics on it, which also makes when you do fundraising entirely different, because we raised cash ourselves back in 2021. But to have fine investors that come on with the same type of optics is also a very, very difficult thing to do. When I was at LeMond and I was fundraising there, it was entirely different. The terms were way more favorable, of course, because we had a much better name. I wasn't able to get those kind of terms and we were very new. We didn't have all the credibility and the stuff behind us. So, you know, it's just, it's an enduring process. Of course, we're incredibly proud to get where we are today and to continue to work with all those people out there. It's an amazing experience. It really is. And it's unlike anything else you'll ever do, you know, yeah. in your career.
You mentioned the hero's journey. So where in that circle do you think that you are right now?
I think we're right at the very bottom. We kind of just kind of got past that aha, because we finally uh-huh. found that stickiness for us in the vacation rental industry. We found, you know, good partners and people we can work with. We go to the shows, people know us now, and, you know, we're kind of eccentric guys, and you see us, you know, like Roy has a really big mustache that he's well known for. And,
oh, I didn't realize that was Roy. I saw him at the event. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So now you'll never be able to mistake him.
Now, yeah, now I know exactly who he is. Okay.
And you'll never be able to shave it off.
Yeah. But, part of his personality now.
We are who we are, and we're not going to be anyone different than that. We are eccentric, maybe a little bit on the spectrum, but we're also engineers, but you know, we're also just people trying to help our customers, right? And trying to get people that we know that we can bring really good, credible tools that have a lot of substance and value and really make a difference for them in today's day and age, 2024. You want to talk about getting up every day and doing the same thing and feeling really good and proud about it. It's you know, it's a height of a career and it's a very good place to be, but went through a lot of bumps and literal bumps.
Yeah,
to get here.
Yeah. Bumps and bruises. Totally. Lots of bruises. Yeah.
We'll be back in just a minute after a word from our premier brand sponsor, Extend Team.
So I'm Cheyenne Hayes, working with Red Rock Vacation Rentals in Southern Utah, and we started working with Extend Team almost a year ago. So we have used them for our guest servicing department. I know that they offer employees for different things, but we've used them strictly for guest servicing. We work really hard to kind of protect our brand and kind of have everybody operating at the same level of service. And when we considered going with Extend Team, we told them kind of what our apprehension was, and they reassured us, and they have completely delivered on that promise. So we were very clear to Extend Team of, you know, we want somebody that has some hospitality background, huge customer service focus. We specifically were looking for somebody that could continue to manage all of the leads and inquiries that were coming in, as well as handling all of the in-house guest communication that's going on through the evening. Without question, partnering up with Extend Team has been one of the best decisions that we've made in the last year. We take a lot of pride in the customer service that we can offer during business hours, and to be able to extend that all the way to midnight every single day with the same level of customer service and the response times has been absolutely amazing. Our guest review scores have gone up. Our team members are feeling more connected to the process, going, you know, 24 hours a day almost. It's been a huge blessing in every way. It's been helpful as far as labor management. It's been helpful for continuing our brand. You know, more hours of the day, guests get responses faster. Everything about the partnership has been a huge blessing for us. We would do it again for sure.
The best news is Extend Team has an exclusive offer just for listeners of Alex and Annie podcast. Receive 50% off your onboarding fee when you visit extendteam.com/Alex and Annie or mention our podcast when you contact them.
With Streamline, are you integrated with the other property management systems in the space? Most of them,
you know, a lot of them. Yeah. And it's still been, you know, kind of a slower process. We connect directly to them. We don't use an aggregator. We don't go through a third party. You know, we don't want those additional costs to be contributed to anybody else. So of course, but that's always, you have to meet the right folks. You have to sit down with them. You have to shake hands. Of course, come to terms. And then even after that, you have to find clients in common. So, but we're connected to most of them now, whether it be Escapia or Streamline, our friends, even at LMPM, LiveRes, you know, most of them we're connected with these days.
Good. Now, are you just in the U.S. or are you in international markets as well?
I mean, we're in the Caribbean, so which is also international, but, you know, we haven't ventured off to Europe really. I mean, you know, to build out your team and trying to create, you know, your GTM, your go-to-market strategy and all those components. I mean, there's a lot here in the U.S. I mean, I was just speaking with my friend Andrew Kitchell about that. It's like just staying, you know, we're going to continue to stay really focused.
Stay in your lane, literally.
Stay in your lane, literally. Yeah. It seems like we find like companies either they kind of develop themselves in Europe and it takes them time to really get a foothold and then they'll come to the US and vice versa. And I think everybody that we've talked to kind of has the same mentality. It's just like, you know, get it right, get your momentum, get your brand settled so people know what it is. Mm-hmm. And it'll kind of organically take care of itself. That growth will naturally happen. You know, if you have a good product, people are going to talk about it and they're going to recommend it and share it with other people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I see it in the same light. So, I mean, our focal point is really just focusing in on, I mean, even having some word of mouth is a good way for others to know about us and hear about us. I mean, it's the best source too. We have a bunch of old Navis people too that are very friendly to us and promote us, like Michelle Marquis. You guys might know her.
Yeah, sure.
I was just on a webinar with her and Jeff from Shortcuts, I think 2 weeks ago. But yeah, it really is. I mean, we want to get eventually into the European market. People reach out to us from over there, but again, it's just, we're not quite yet there. Numbers out there would also be another thing. We'd have to work on getting more phone numbers in the different locations and working through all the rest of the parameter. So, I mean, there's more to it, but I mean, that's the story for any business, truly. Definitely stay in our way.
I'm seeing a lot of companies now too that are making a concerted effort, if they're newer in building, to get things done the right way first before they go and they grow. And then they have to look back and be like, oh my gosh, I've been in business for 5 years, but I haven't made any efforts on direct bookings and I've got to unravel it. Do you have clients that are kind of like that, that they're newer or they are a newer company at least, but they're trying to get these things in place? Or is it mostly existing companies that were using a similar product that switch over to you?
It's a little bit of both. And the ones that are familiar with the type of offering, you know, it's a bit easier, of course, to train in. Their agents are somewhat familiar with it. And then, you know, those who aren't, you know, maybe their agents, if they have VAs, are a little bit more timid to it. There's, I mean, all the workshops and things that are happening, all the shows, it's evident that they're preaching a lot of this, you know, like own your own email lists, build those up, be able to market to them, control that a bit, you know, create a deviation a bit in your revenue stream so that it's, you know, not all based on Vrbo or Airbnb. So it's, you know, diversified channels. You know, I mean, there's a lot of folks that come to us, but again, I mean, there's always the shock too of like what this system takes and costs, and then of course to learn to adapt it. So, you know, it is, it's educational. So some people, again, like who understand it really well, you know, they'll sign up quickly. And so it might be a shorter time, you know, for us to educate them. But then there are others where we have to spend 6 months or 4 months, you know, teaching them and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, a lot of back and forth. But I mean, regardless of what it is, it's always an honor. You build the whole system that you're showing. So, you know, between Roy and I, we each built half of it, if you will. And he spent more time on the phone pieces. And maybe I spent more time on the email and CRM, but it doesn't matter. We both our hearts are so into it. So you have an opportunity to show that, like, it's like, hey, look what I built. And then at the same time, I can help you. And as I tell him, I'm like, you know, it's purpose built for you. Like it's built for your type of business and in your industry. You know, you're not going to find this in a HubSpot, you know, because you're just not, you know, it's purpose built for the industry. And so, but it always is. It's an honor. Anytime I can get about and show it and educate and teach or all those kind of components.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I think we talk about this a lot on the show, you know, whether a property management system or a software can be truly an all-in-one offering. And I think you can debate it both ways. But at the end of the day, I mean, what you do, it is the overreaching way to communicate with guests and owners. And that's not just email marketing or just texting or just phone. There's a lot of things that go underneath that. And the broader purpose of it is to provide better service, to be able to generate more bookings, more revenue, more repeat revenue. And you know, as you look at things, I think a lot of companies, they look at email marketing or texting as just individual outputs of what they're doing in the marketing. It's like, you can't look at it that way. You have to look at the broader picture of that whole life cycle of the guest and how you're communicating at different touch points, and brings in operations. I mean, texting your guests a couple days after they've arrived at the property to make sure that things are going well. If they are not, I mean, trying to get ahead of things before they go and leave a bad review, or worse, wait until the end of the week and ask for money back. You know, it's a more comprehensive look of what is the true beginning and end. Hopefully there's no end, but like the whole process of how a guest engages with the brand. And I think that's what I like about what you guys have put together, is it does take into consideration all those different phases, and, you know, allows you to tell the story and communicate with the guest in the way that you want to. And we all know when you book on Airbnb, you can't do that. That's the biggest problem, is that you are not able to communicate in the way that you want. And this allows you to start driving that and really building up, you know, that cadence with the guests.
I absolutely agree. I mean, you're preaching right to the choir. I mean, it's communications are holistic, right? So it's our whole thesis, who we are as a company, is we want to talk to folks like so that everybody knows your first name, right? It's like, yeah, like maybe they'll cheers at you. But I mean, as I was traveling all around the world, we would constantly go back to the same places that knew us, right? And so even at Le Mans, we would go to a smaller hotel, nothing grand, not a 5-star in Paris, but they knew us by our name. So they would have out like the Diet Coke with, you know, like ice, which is pretty rare, you know, iced soda in Europe. And they would greet us with that. And, you know, they would know our names. And even when we would travel down to Australia, we would have the same thing. They'd say, "Hey, Nick, we see we're coming. Hey, we'll set you up the way you want." And that's a piece of, you know, I think in hospitality, with all the hospitality tech, it's lost out there. You know, I mean, it's the essence of travel. It's why we all got into all of this to begin with, is we fell in love with it. And I truly believe on the communication side, I mean, what just gets me every time are those like emails that everybody sends out. You know, they talk to you like you've never been there before. And like, I think it's like one of the easiest things you can do. It's just it's low hanging fruit to be able to just very quickly tag off an automation or work through the processes. And so that you can at least greet them saying, "Hey, welcome back," you know, and then just use their first name versus like their whole name and all the different bits behind them. And while some of that, yes, you have to carry it across, but it's such an opportunity to make that relationship, just so that when you are talking about taking that trip again with your family, you're talking about like, "Hey, let's go back down to Collins, or let's go back to wherever we were last." And you have that conversation so that when you make the booking, they're speaking back to you just like you're speaking about them. And then I've had countless of conversations about with like Robin from Movie Mountains about all this. And I know he sees a lot of it in the same light. And it's refreshing to hear that even from the operators, that they want to do that too. And so, the communications, it's so critical, because it's like, you can't just have it, solve it in your email and then not take care of it on your text messaging.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, who's talking with who?
We talk about that a lot. And we actually been talking about that recently with some gentlemen that are, we call the OGs of vacation rentals. And they live in my market in the panhandle of Florida. And I think that sometimes we get lost in the sauce, so to speak. It's like we forget we're in hospitality, and we lose, and again, things start to become cold and very technical. And again, we need the technology to be able to do all these great things, but don't forget that the technology can also help you be more hospitable if you're using the right technology. So you've done all the things that can make the two worlds merge really well together.
Absolutely. And that's exactly the case. It's like, don't get lost with just like these generic pieces of communication where we're just like, you know, you're spending a lot of money to go there. And it's almost like a romance. You know, you're going there with your family and all these components. It's going to be memories that you'll never forget. And if the memories are grand, you're going to go back there just so you can rekindle the memory. So if you can at all, just try to, you know, whatever you can do to make it so that it's more intimate and you're actually speaking to somebody with their first name. I often use like the most obtuse examples, but it's like, if I saw you again at one of the next shows and I came over and I introduced myself as, "Hey, I'm Nicholas Wagner," I went through my whole spiel on who I am, you'd be like, "I already know who you are. Why are you saying all this today?" So,
did you bump your head? No.
Yeah. So how do you take that and do you distill that down into a piece of technology to solve that problem?
Right.
Because right now, every single system out there that sends out those emails or those text messages, they're doing exactly that. They're telling their whole life story all over again, every single time in the cadence. And it's so easy that you can create that relationship so that it's like, we all know it's those tiny little experiences that we all remember. So if you're communicating to the people before they come out there, and especially when they're going to a foreign place, a place they've never been or a place they're not that familiar with, that's their only tangible resource that they know of any allocation. So it's like, you're traveling to this place, like that's the safe haven. How do I get here? So if those people can make you feel better, in that route, on that path, that's the essence that we want to solve. And that's the component that we really do bring, which is entirely different from anybody else in the market.
I love that. How much has AI changed the platform? I mean, in the last year or two, I mean, you guys already, when you were building it 5 years ago, you had AI in mind, but even though nobody knew what that meant at that point, but how have you integrated it and what have you seen on that side?
Yeah, no, it's great questions. I mean, I'm happy you brought it up. For us, you know, we don't connect the full feedback loop. We believe you can spot it. I think it's Connor, you guys probably know him. He actually wrote a good post about it because it's like your next flavor of licorice because you can spot the text out. I think LLMs have a huge place in the market. I just think what they are is they're used differently. I think they should be used more in back office and to automate some of your other processes, but they shouldn't ever be 100% connected through the loop. Like, you don't want the AI ghostwriting to your guests or what to come out there. You don't want the AI ghostwriting and sending that response off. You know, let it help. Let it create some of the messaging, but then have an auditing process in front of it, which obviously saves time. That's our viewpoint. I know others probably try to automate it all the way through, but I think you can spot it. And it's like, if you do have, I mean, travel is, it's a human experience. I mean, at the macro, we all want to be engaged with other humans, right? You go on this trip, hopefully to be around other people. And if you're starting it out, it's like, you wouldn't want a robot at your front desk.
Right.
I mean, hopefully you don't. Exactly. You know, they're greeting your people and it's just like, here it is. So don't put a robot responding to your guests as well. I mean, it's your most precious commodity. Both the owners and the guests are in the same criteria. You know, you don't want a robot responding to your owners about whatever they might have questions about as well, because we handle a lot of that communication as well too. But I do think you can find a way to, you know, like send time is a great piece for it. Obviously, we're biased to that. But of course, quick replies and those kind of components, drafting some of those out, trying to get some of the nuanced basic responses, sentiment analysis, those are areas where you can really create some focus on AI. Hopefully that kind of resonates with some folks. But, you know, that's generally our viewpoint. We do have a lot of it under the hood. It's just not 100% connected, the feedback loop.
Listening to a podcast this week while we were at the show with Megan Moylan on her new podcast. I think it's Workflows and Espressos. And she was talking about all the different things that she uses ChatGPT for. And she's got the premium version of it. And I mean, just it's unbelievable things I had never even thought of for how you would use ChatGPT. But it's amazing. I think the one thing that a lot of companies have adopted is, you know, the ease of being able to respond to reviews, to being able to write email responses to guests and inquiries and things like that. It's just, it's made life a lot easier for all of us. And I totally agree that AI is never going to replace people, but it's going to make people able to do their jobs more efficiently and effectively.
Oh, so totally. Yeah. It's a tool. It's another tool in your arsenal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you should definitely be using it. You're going to be left behind without it. So if you're not learning to adopt it and bring it into the ecosystem, you know, we bring different instances of AI to the table, but the way that we do it is generally encompassed through our system. There's different facets for it, you know, and there's a lot of different flavors out there. You know, I mean, there's obviously OpenAI, there's Claudia. I mean, there's a lot of different tools to choose from as well, but not all LLMs are equal either, but it is definitely going to continue to change the world. And I think I've had it more than one occasion. They're like, oh, you should go back to a .AI, and because, you know, we started out as one.
Yeah.
we're like adbase.ai. And then it's so funny because now we're sensequared.com, but we renamed the company many years ago. We're now well known as Sensequared. And
we'll start over.
We don't
again.
Need the dot. We're not going to rebrand or any of those components. We don't need the .ai to come back, say that we have it in there. But it is a really funny story for us, at least looking at it, because we're like, we're that. And then we rename because nobody can find us.
Now everybody's doing it. So yeah. Where do you see you guys 5 years from now? Like, what is on your roadmap or wish list for Sensequared?
You know, I mean, we're constantly adding more to the platform. You know, we spend a lot of time with our customers. Yeah, obviously, owner and guests continue to own that as a CRM. Eventually, at some point down the road, and it's probably no time in the future, we'll probably get back into, you know, maybe into hotels or boutique hotels and resorts at some point down the road. But it's certainly not any time in the next few years. But a lot of the communications and the tools, I mean, we truly are trying to become like the HubSpot for hospitality. You know, not trying to give HubSpot more credit than they already have. But, you know, that's really our focal point. We're trying to bring and just be, you know, the quintessential CRM and then have all of those communications live in there. So if it's in the side of like a lane of communications, we're definitely going to attack it. We're going to go and build it or put it inside our platform. But we'll never get outside that lane. We'll never go and get down the road with like PMS or some of those other things, or like revenue management, you know, those kind of we'll always stay as a communications company. But a lot of fun things in that light, you know, what's between, you know, guidebooks on our owner side and more components there as well, communicating, you know, and trying to bring more relevance within not just the acquisition, but also the retention. You know, I know acquisition is really, really big on the owner side, but retention is equally just as big because it's a lot easier to keep them than it is the going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, how you speak to your owners, when you speak to your owners, what you say to your owners, it matters. And all three of those criteria is at the same chord on the guest side as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the when and the what, I mean, they're just equally as important.
I love that you have the owners component in that as well, because I don't think that there is any other platform that brings the owner and guest marketing together in the way that you're doing it. And it's important because I hear this all the time from companies that if they've got properties that are down, the property manager is emailing marketing and saying, we need to do a push on this. And so marketing does an email or a social media post, but now it's like, okay, now they have to communicate that back to the property manager. Now they have to communicate that to the owner that we've done something. And while my whole approach to marketing would be to have a more proactive scope of it so that you don't become that reactive, we all know that's still going to happen to some extent, that there's going to be properties and owners that they're going to want to ask, you know, what have you done for me lately, today, tomorrow, and the next day? Yeah. But being able to quickly get that information is actually, it's a challenge for companies. So it sounds like, I mean, you're able to see that from one view. And I think the benefit there is it's actually moving two departments together that need to be more connected, marketing and homeowner relations. That third component is revenue management, but that's really cool. I think that's a unique position to have.
Right. What I always try to say is owners are guests and guests are owners. I mean, they're not disconnected. You can have owners come in as guests. Owners will bring and recommend guests too. They'll have people in their peer group. Yeah. Those people are other potential owners in your market. You should talk to them that way. You should definitely not talk to them like a regular guest. And again, to make it to the extreme example, you know, if you were talking to those people in real life, you would definitely talk to them different. So as they come through your systems to book a spot, or if you make the booking for the owner or the owner's guest, the rest of those communications that come out of your company should be different. They should not be the same. And the idea is that so that you can attract them and you can say, look, we're on top of it. We know who's coming here. We want to get to know you. This industry is entirely relationship based. And it's across the entire board. So, you know, that's why we went off, we built all this. And again, one of those things that was, it just kind of fell in our lap. You know, it's kind of how it's a lot of that's been. And we just don't go against the grain, if you will. If it kind of feels like this is something we need to enter into and it sits within that lane of communication, we build that. But yeah, it is. It truly is. Owners are guests and guests are owners. And so that's how we think of it, look at it. So
Great mindset.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, we're super excited to see where you continue to go with this, Nick. I think you guys, the sky's the limit, and you definitely have all the right ingredients behind you. I mean, certainly the tenacity and the dedication to get it done, but also the curiosity and the flexibility to want to adapt with what the market needs. So it's going to be exciting to see where you continue to go with this in the future.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And that's the thing I always say, we're not going to stop, you know, we didn't stop after I got hit by a car.
Nothing's stopping you now.
It's going to take a little bit more than a car, maybe a bus or something like that. But I'm just kidding.
Keep you locked up as much as we can.
Put bubble wrap around you.
No, it's always funny. We joke about it, even within the company. Like Rohit and I, we were walking across the street, even in New Orleans. And, you know, I'm like, we'll be fine. And I just start walking. He's like, no.
Let's make sure. Look both ways.
Yeah, you've had one bad thing. Don't bring on another one, right?
Absolutely. Well, if anybody wants to get in touch with you and SendSquared, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Just, you know, nick@sendsquared.com. You know, we also have our phone number. We're big on the phone calls. You can call us on the website as well. you know, shoot us an email. We're definitely at all the shows. We'll be up in Idaho here in the next coming few weeks. I think it's 2 weeks from now. Then we'll definitely be at the exec conference. I'm hosting a panel there on CRM. So I'm really excited about that. So we're pretty easy to get a hold of. Go to sendsquared.com. A lot of demo requests there if you want to see it, or just reach out in contact form and say hi. Happy to jump on call or just chit chat about things, even if you're not a customer. We spend time with folks all the time.
If anyone wants to get in touch with Annie and I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com. And until next time, thanks for tuning in, everybody.